It is our prayer this morning that you would fill up your house with your glory. God, that we your people are your house, that we would be filled with your glory as well, that your spirit would be so present with us, transforming us. And God, we ask that, God, that you're not just filling up this room, that you're not just filling up the nursery and city kids downstairs, but God, that you're filling us in a way that we take it with us wherever we go. God, we especially lift up those who are with our children right now. Stephanie and Janice and Mike and Tequila and Erica, Lord, those who are pouring into our children, loving them as you do. May they be changed, knowing that they are your child. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I really appreciated the message last week about the children. If you guys weren't here and didn't hear it, the sermons are posted online. Yeah, let's dive into the Word. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Luke chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 32 through verse 40. Jesus is speaking, and he has just told the disciples not to worry about what they're to eat or drink or wear. And then he says this, starting in verse 32. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I feel a little hot, like on the mic. Is it too loud? I feel loud. Maybe I just... No. Don't worry, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give you the kingdom. Now, when I think of kingdom, I think of something vast and good and rich. And right when Jesus says, it's God's good pleasure, it's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom, he immediately follows that with, sell your possessions. Now, I have the tendency to be thinking about possessions, the kingdom, in the terms of material things and greatness. And so when Jesus flips it around and says, sell your possession and give alms, it makes me have to slow down and think. And not just, I'm still like wrestling with it, because sometimes I'm tempted to think, okay, so I'm not building up a treasure here on earth, But I'm building up a treasure that looks an awful lot like the things I would call treasure here, and it's just going to be in heaven. I get to that verse, and this morning I even realized that it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I realized that I have the tendency to flip it. That where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. And I do this not even realizing it, and I think that I can accurately discern where my heart is, and that must necessarily mean where I'm putting my treasure. But I think Jesus is challenging us to think differently. That if we're gathering up treasure, whatever that treasure may look like here, that our hearts are necessarily in that. So as I was sitting uncomfortably with that, looking around at my stuff, I wondered what this next section had to do with the first, because it was kind of a jolt to me to go from, okay, Jesus is really excited to tell us that God wants to give us the kingdom. Therefore, sell your possessions, and then he says, be ready. And I was just struggling to see the connection. And so I want to sit with these next two verses, because Jesus gives us two pictures. There is the slaves or the servants who are waiting for their master. Their master has gone to a wedding, and the servants are at home waiting for the master to return, and they are ready. They're ready. So as soon as the master knocks on the door, they're ready to open it. And the master comes in and sets the table for them because they were ready. And so there's that picture of people being ready. And then there's another picture that follows right on its heels about the one who's not ready. And it's the owner of the house who's sleeping, apparently, or away, and isn't ready. And the thief comes and enters the house and steals. And then it says that it likens the person who's coming to Jesus, the Son of Man. The Son of Man is coming. So you have Jesus, who is the master, coming home, and you have Jesus the thief. Jesus gets into the house in both stories. Jesus enters, and it is our condition how we receive Jesus. Are we the servants who know that the house does not belong to us, ready to let the master in, who then sets the table and gives us the kingdom? Or are we the one who thinks that we are the master, thinks we're the master of the house, asleep in bed, and Jesus comes like a thief, enters the house, because who's the real owner of the house when Jesus is coming? It is Jesus' house. And so it's a matter of our heart. Do we know whose we are and everything that we have? Do we believe that it's ours, or is it something that is truly God's? Did you hear the psalm in which it said, God said, I wouldn't tell you if I was hungry, for all the things of the earth are mine. I don't even have to tell you that I'm hungry. And yet, we come, I say we, but I hold things as if they're mine. Because everyone is telling me that it's mine. All the world is telling me that everything that I have, that it's open and available to me, and that the things that I own are truly mine. And Jesus is telling us something different. It really I had been wrestling with all these thoughts of like, how am I supposed to use my money and my stuff for a long time? And then I started working for a church before I moved here. And it brought it to another level for me. Because as I worked for the church, when I got my paycheck, I had this deep realization that that money was everyone else's tithe. And so when I went to the store, I suddenly felt like I had the whole church congregation with me. And as I put something in my basket, I was like, I'm buying this, whatever it is, with someone else's money that they're giving to the church, giving to the Lord. And so it had this amount of accountability. Like, am I going to buy this or not? Like, is it worth it? Because this is truly the Lord's money. People put it in this basket. And how am I going to use it? And it started sitting with me that it doesn't matter if we work for a church or not. It was helpful for me to wake up to realize that nothing that I have is mine. But each one of us, when we go to the store or we sit at home on the computer, Amazon is... I struggle with Amazon. I don't know about you. It's just like too easy. It's too easy. But like, do you feel that? That it matters? Like, it really matters what we have and how we use it. And what's meaningful to us. And we can't escape. Wherever we're putting our treasure, our heart is going to go. So even if we're wrestling with it and we really want things, we can make a decision and lead our hearts that we do the actions that we know are right before we even feel like doing them. So, my mom and so a lot of like well-meaning friends will sometimes like send me articles and things about being single, because I am single, and so sometimes I appreciate them and sometimes I don't. I try to be really gracious, like, oh, thanks for that article, but most of the time I do open them, most out of like curiosity. And so I'll read these things and I'll get like really fired up, because like one of them I distinctly remember a few years ago, I start reading it, and this woman was saying about all the amazing things about being single, and you get this feeling that she's just like trying, I don't know, like that she doesn't really believe it, but she's like trying to like pull at things that she thinks are good about being single. And she gets to this part and she's like, and I can go buy a pair of shoes and no one's going to question me about that pair of shoes. And I just stopped and I thought, that's exactly why, like the reason why I wouldn't want to be single is because there's a lack of accountability. And so like struggling for words, like to put it, I mean, I think it's so simple, and that's why I have a hard time even naming it. That we thrive off of our independence and our being able to just do whatever we want, but Jesus is calling us to be accountable to a spouse, accountable to your friends, accountable to the people in this room. That we help each other. Ask the hard questions of where are you laying up your treasure? Because your heart's going to go there. And Jesus is giving us this great invitation saying, I want to give you the kingdom. God wants to give you the kingdom, but don't think that you know what that kingdom is. Sell your possessions. I spent a pretty good amount of this week doing REI training, which is Racial Equity Institute. And if some of you, we talk about it a lot here at CityWell, and There are scholarships available. I would highly recommend people make the time to go to Racial Equity Institute. It's really powerful. And so when I'm thinking about selling my possessions and giving alms, I necessarily have to start thinking about who I'm giving to. So I can't just stay with myself, but I have to like think about who I'm giving to. And part of the Racial Equity Institute is exposing how systems have racism embedded right within them in ways that we are blind to oftentimes. And when I say we, it's white people. We're often blind to it because people of color, they feel it. And so it's helping expose that. And so thinking about systems being embedded with racism and how the poor people, which supposedly we'd be giving those alms to when we sell our possessions, we often surround poor people with systems. We have systems to take care of people. We have systems to feed them and to give them housing and all these things. And yet those systems are broken because of racism and also because of a thousand other things. And so I keep thinking about, I mean, we need to work to fix the systems, but we also need to start opening our doors. Jesus comes and knocks on the door 2 times in this scripture. It's the master with the servants who are waiting, and then there's the thief. Now, when I lived in Jackson, I lived in a neighborhood where I got a lot of knocks on my door. And sometimes I was really happy to open my door, and other times I was not. So I distinctly remember one particular time, and I get a knock on my door, and I felt like I was just like in scripture because I was in bed with my cats, not my kids, but I was in bed with my cats, and the light was out. I was falling asleep, and I hear a knock on my door, and I thought, nope. I'm in bed with my cats. I'm not getting up. It doesn't matter what you need. And then wait a little bit louder. And I was like, I'm in bed with my cats. I'm not getting up. I don't care what you need. And the knocking kept going. I don't know if you know that story, but the person gets out of bed and helps his neighbor because the neighbor just keeps on knocking. And you just can't go to sleep and there's someone still knocking at your door. And so I was like, okay. And so I went to the door and I told him, no, I can't help you here. I cannot help you right now. I'm going to sleep. I have to go to work in the morning. I can't help you now. And I was angry because I knew exactly who was on the other side of that door. And I am convicted . You see, when we open the door, we have to be ready for the mess. Part of me just wanted it to be easy that, yes, I gave him what he wanted, or no, I didn't. Instead of entering into the mess of the relationship with my friend who was on the other side of the door knocking. And somehow, like, I didn't even see that for a long time. That it's not just about sell your possessions and give alms in this, like, unaffected sort of way. But Jesus is knocking on our door and inviting us into a relationship that sometimes we have to open the door and say, what do you need? This is what I can give, and this is what I can't give, and wrestle it out together. Because, like, that's what I didn't want to do in that moment. I wanted to just be able to write it off and say, no, it's too late, instead of saying, let's figure this out together of when a better time is, and having boundaries and entering into that mess of relationship. Life is just so messy. And I guess I feel at a loss for words, because I think it's so easy to just pretend like these things don't matter. I think I'll end with a story from a children's book. I was a children's director before coming here, if you didn't know. I mean, even if I wasn't, I probably still like children's books. But so, story. I'm just going to read it to you. All right, no preface. My Uncle Rye lived alone in a small house up in the hills. He didn't own many things. He lived a simple life. One evening, he discovered he had a visitor. A robber had broken into the house and was rummaging through my uncle's few belongings. The robber didn't notice Uncle Rye, and when my uncle said hello, the robber was so startled he almost fell down. My uncle smiled at the robber and shook his hand. "Welcome, welcome, how nice of you to visit." The robber opened his mouth to speak, but he couldn't think of anything to say. Because Rye never lets anyone leave empty-handed, he looked around the tiny hut for a gift to give to the robber, but there was nothing to give. The robber began to back toward the door. He wanted to leave. At last, Uncle Rye knew what to do. He took off his only robe, which was old and tattered. "Here," he said, "please, take this." The robber thought my uncle was crazy. He took the robe, dashed out the door, and escaped into the night. My uncle sat and looked at the moon, its silvery light spilling over the mountains, making all things quietly beautiful. "Poor man," lamented my uncle. "All I had to give him was my tattered robe. If only I could have given him this wonderful moon." Will you open the door? Amen.